will ask, therefore, our Lord is in our midst, we should eat and drink and be merry. What has making reparation to the Sacred Heart to do with eating and drinking? Our Lady must be wrong when she asks for prayer and penance. Our Lord is, of course, calling attention of everyone to a simple fact. Fasting, penance, is a means to an end. What's the end? Having Jesus present with us, enjoying his company for all eternity. In a sense, it is true, he is with us, but he is with us now. He is really and truly present, but sacramentally. We do not see him yet fully. There is something yet to come. And so we are, as it were, in that he has accomplished something for us, and yet there is still something to be done before we are ready for the full joy of heaven. And this is what is called reparation fits in. People say today, well, I can understand what that means. I know what it means to repair a house. I know what it means to repair a physical body. When the body starts wearing out and you feel as though you're not going to be able to get out of the bed in the morning, etc., you know, you need some kind of a full retooling. We understand simply the physical order. We do not appreciate the spiritual, what it means to make reparation, make repairs in the spiritual order. People will say, how can you hurt God? If God is truly God, you can't touch him physically. That's perfectly true. You can't touch the Father physically. He has no body. But that doesn't mean he's not real. We can't offend him. We can deprive him of the love and the honor that is due to him. All we need to do is think about our families. I'm sure anybody of you has been naughty and hurt your mother's feelings or your daddy's feelings understands perfectly well, instinctively. Well, I ought to make up. That doesn't mean anything physical. It means, basically, loving, apologizing, resolving to serve faithfully, forget oneself, and just do something to please mom and dad. When we transpose that idea to the greater family, after all, God has made us his family. He sent his only begotten Son to be born in our midst. And with that we can see, how do we hurt God? We hurt God by ignoring Jesus. We hurt him in adding to the burden of the cross. He gave his life for each of us, for all of us, to save us from the consequences of original sin and of our personal sins, all of them. Now, Lord didn't mind doing that, but because he truly loved us, that's how much he wants us. He wasn't trying to get something out of us. All he wished is our love. And when we don't give it to him, we bring to his heart the most painful of pains. Making reparation then means so identifying ourselves with our Lord on Calvary that we are willing to share a bit of what he suffered for the conversion and the sanctification and the salvation, even of those who are farthest away from the church, who care the least about Jesus. The indifference is perhaps the hardest to take. It doesn't make any difference. Who is Jesus? Here he is in the Blessed Sacrament. Here he is in our midst, and we have no time for him. Now, this is what reparation is all about. In a certain sense, he is absent. He is not immediately seen. Out of sight, out of mind, was the way they said it years ago. And we must remember, he may be out of our physical sight, but he shouldn't be out of our mind's eye. By faith, we know him. By hope, we ardently desire him. And by charity, we want to do everything he wants us to do because we love him above all things. Reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is a way of entering into that mystery of loving him, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We may add here, how can we do that best? By being one with Our Lady, by not being indifferent, by truly devoted to her. Some people will say either Jesus or Mary. But how can you separate them? Did you ever hear saying either the boy or the mama? Doesn't make any sense to approach it that way. If Jesus has a mother, then if we are going to make reparation to Jesus, we must include Our Lady. That's where the first Saturday devotions come from. So this is what I want to speak about. Now we have a lovely statue of the infant Jesus of Prague in our midst. We will conclude with a brief reflection. God became a little baby. God was a little boy. He grew up in a very obscure place in this world. That's the reason that obscure place is more famous and more important than any other city, any other place in the world. Secondly, it means that even if we're only 2 years old, or 5 years old, or 10 years old, we recognize here someone who is like us, so that we might be like him. It's not impossible for any of us to love Jesus, to serve him, to learn from him, because he is God. How old do you have to be to learn about God? How old do you have to be to love God? You can be 2 years old or 200 years old, and you can do that equally well. And this is why Jesus chose the way he actually came on earth, to become the baby of Mary, so that we might all of us be able, no matter how much time we have on this earth, be it 1 year or 100 years, to become saints, to become wise, and to have a future that is eternal, immortality, body and soul to look forward to. Dear brothers and sisters, and especially all the little brothers and sisters, never forget the King of Kings, the one teacher of all, the great high priest of our confession is the infant Jesus of Prague. And if you need anything that is truly to your salvation, you can always go and ask him. He will never refuse you. After all, he was a little child once too, and he understands, and more than that, because he is literally God, he can do all that he promises to do. So strive always to be simple, childlike, in loving Our Lady, and you will discover that you will know how to pray, you will enjoy praying, you will enjoy sharing some part of the cross, and you will always realize that, yes, indeed, even now, we can rejoice and make merry in a holy way when we celebrate this holy sacrifice and eat of his body and drink of his blood. Praise be Jesus and Mary.